Music and Booze with Mo is co-produced and distributed by Nitty Grits, the media division of the National Food and Beverage Foundation, changing the world one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Today we get to meet up with a lovely lady friend in Los Angeles, Alana Lepkowski, otherwise known as Stir and Strain. That is her blog, which she's been doing for 8 years now, and it's been nominated several times in several different arenas for Best Cocktail Blog because she's been just a queen at the cocktail for quite some time. She also DJed here and there, and we're going to talk about it today on this episode of Music and Booze with Mo. It's me and Elena.
That's who you are and why I even know you exist.
Okay.
It's like, what do you do and all that
kind of thing. Okay, cool. My name is Elena Lepkowski, and I am the owner and creator of the cocktail and entertaining website stirandstrain.com, which we just celebrated 8 years.
That's amazing. Is it a full-time gig?
It's a full-time gig.
Yeah.
It really is.
That is incredible. And you do so much on that blog. I mean...
I do. It's been, you know, I've increased how much I've been doing for the last couple of years. But I also do, I'm going to say a lot. I'm already realizing that. I do.
It's all right. Get back into your radio personality. Right. You'll remember to stop saying the
O's. So I also do a lot of photography and content creation for spirit brands, both nationally and internationally. And then I also... rarely, occasionally now, DJ under the moniker DJ Elena Bean.
Elena Bean.
It was never like a real name, and then when I started doing it more frequently, someone's like, we need a name for the poster. I'm like,
right, I know.
This. And I never changed it. I'm like, I don't,
Elena Bean.
It's fine.
It's cute. I like Elena Bean.
It was cute when I was like 25.
Well, yeah, I guess there's that. But it's always dark in those bars. No one
exactly.
can tell how old we really are.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Well, did you DJ in radio? Did you do like college radio?
No. I always wanted to, and I had a bunch of friends who did it.
Yeah.
But I was like adjacent to it and was really into the music and talking with the people. But I was a fine arts major for my first degree, and I was in the dark room. So I actually have a background in photography, and it's so nice to see.
No wonder all of your pictures are so spot on.
Thank you.
Like,
very much.
Every time. They're always so beautiful.
Thank you. Like, I had a degree in that, and then I did commercial photography with this company, Surface, for a decade. I was the creative director.
Wow.
And they got me real young. I was like 22, 23.
Uh-huh.
And one of my many jobs there was to do just photography for their internet stuff. Mm-hmm. So I did that for a decade. Mm-hmm. And then I naturally transitioned back into having that kind of commercial background and the fine arts background. Mm-hmm. I kind of made it work with the cocktails.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I've been doing that for...
So, what got you DJing? How did you start DJing?
You know what? I was trying to think about this before I came
when
here.
When was the first time that you DJed?
Well,
I worked at a radio station, and I trained people how to DJ and everything, so I had never DJed out in the world.
Right.
I'd already had that experience first. So I'm like, how do people just start if they're not
well,
that, you know?
I was dating. No. So my husband actually is how I got into it. So I was record collecting.
You're already a nerd.
I was already ready, like, record collecting. And I can't remember when. Like, I remember being here in California and having 45s come with me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't even remember. I'm assuming it was probably sometime in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
I was so out of it in high school, I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I had to, he had been DJing here. He DJed at this place called The Garage that was back.
Oh my god, I totally used to go to The Garage.
So, he DJed a lot of garage music at The Garage. And then he was DJing at a bunch of other places. And there was this bar called The Little Joy.
Oh,
in,
yep.
Echo Park?
It's Echo Park. Yeah, right by the shortstop.
Yeah.
So I used to DJ at the shortstop.
Oh, yeah? Uh-huh. I wanted to DJ sometimes in the shortstop.
Oh, my God. It was my favorite place to DJ in this town.
The Little Joy was really great up until 2009 was a weird turning point.
Was that when they transitioned?
That's when they transitioned. Yeah. They kicked all the current people out, and they turned in it to whatever it was. And I haven't been back since.
Yeah.
But, so my husband was kind enough to be like, hey, you can come in and DJ before me for like 45 minutes. Ooh. And I'm like, oh. So what I do is I DJ all original 45s, mostly original, a lot of reissues, of girl groups and girl garage groups from this...
Fun.
Late 50s through the early 70s.
I love that. I love that. In fact, the event I just was working this weekend, I have one playlist that's my all-girl playlist. Mm-hmm. Very heavy on that.
Yeah.
It's like all the Yeah Yeah girls are there,
oh,
you know,
yes.
All that kind of stuff.
All the friends
very
are
heavy
so
on
awesome.
That.
Mm-hmm.
And all 45s.
All 45s.
That's rad.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I mean, as I started doing it more, I had to get some LPs just because they had really good compilations that if you wanted to get the 45, it would be like $100.
Yeah, totally.
And... I can't.
Speaking of the French stuff,
45.
I've got those like Trey Chic compilations. I don't know if you've seen those. There's three different series. It's all Yeah Yeah Girls.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I just put that at Haunted Home, and we're happy.
Those are great. Yeah, and there's like the Girls in the Garage series,
yep.
which is really great too.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just like, it was funny because I mean, my husband was DJing garage music when he was doing it at Littlejoy, but. The music, like that kind of music, it just gets people dancing and moving.
Yeah.
And only once did I have some really like drunk, like horrible asshole guy come in and try and like take a 45 out of what I was DJing. And it's like, I mean, he got thrown out. But
well, that's good. At
least. But otherwise, it was cool.
What was one of your favorite songs to play when you DJed at Little Joy? Do you remember? I mean, I always had a couple that were fun.
So I had a couple. The funny thing is, the Crystals. He Hit Me and It Felt Like a Kiss was always like a weird favorite.
Yeah.
And I still kind of DJ that. Well, when I would still bring it other places to DJ.
Yeah.
But at the time, Quentin Tarantino's Grindhouse movies were coming out.
Oh my God.
And there's a band called Smith that does the Baby It's You song. And that would just like, people
love that.
People would buy me drinks, be like, I love this song.
Oh,
yeah. Show whiskey. I'm like, great, because I'm pretty much doing this for whiskey. So the funny thing is like the DJing, like Little Joy was just pure fun, and I loved doing it there. I did a Verdugo bar here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I did I did that music for a while, like once a month. And then I had a weird stint at Bar 107.
I used to DJ there too. When they first opened, I DJed there for like 6 months.
I think.
The very beginning.
I want to say 2009, 2010, something like
was
that.
And it was like 2006 or something like that. Whenever they opened.
That was like the scariest climb up to the DJ.
It was a scary climb, but I also kind of loved being up there.
I did
This is a bar because we've got listeners who've never seen the place, where I always likened it to like a divey, thank God it's Friday kind of thing.
Yeah.
You had to go up this very skinny spiral staircase with your records.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you were up there, you were above the crowd. You were like looking down at everyone. So it was cool once you were up there. But yeah, going up and down, you're just like, at what point am I going to crack my skull on the way down? You know?
It was dangerous. I did a country night there for like every weekend for about a month or so, and I burned out super quick. And I'm like, I didn't have enough music.
Yeah.
They wanted me to promote. I'm like, I don't really promote because I don't really do this for money. Like, I have a day job.
Yeah.
It was like, this is my passion, and I'm not a super promoter person. And this was pre-social media stuff.
Yeah.
Or pre-Instagram.
It was much harder.
It was a lot.
It was flyers and literally calling
flyers.
Your friends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And my friends, like, also had day jobs, and they were coming into downtown Los Angeles on a... I think it was a Sunday night that I DJed.
I did it on Wednesdays when I was there, you know. So, same thing. It's kind of like, okay, you want to go to school late?
Yeah.
You know, and I knew enough rock and rollers, musicians, stuff that they would come out.
Yeah.
You know, so that was fine. But, you know, the people who own the bar, they're like, you got to have a draw, man. You're all, it's a school night. Come on.
Yeah.
You can only do so much when people are getting over 30.
Especially for Wednesday. Like, that's like the least. People aren't going out on Wednesdays, even in Los Angeles.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So, what got you, I mean, you did bartend as well, didn't you?
I did
you?
Not.
You never bartended?
I never did.
Okay. See, I had a feeling that, how did you make a name for yourself in the cocktail world like this?
So,
Because you're very well, I mean, your blog has been nominated.
Right.
I love it. Here I am not being able to speak right now. Is it your tagline, something to the effect of the Susan Lucci?
Oh, yeah. Of the Savour Awards?
Yeah.
That's my joke after
Let's
this
Let's upgrade
last
you
year.
To, like, Meryl Streep or Glenn Close.
Well,
or
Susan
something.
Lucci, I think, lost, like, 19 times.
She
for
did,
her
but hasn't Meryl Streep also lost?
I don't know, but, yeah.
High teens?
People probably get that more. I've had one person comment. Like,
I grew up with all my children, so I absolutely know who Erica Kane is.
Yes.
I'm there with you on that. And when I read that the first time, I knew exactly what you were talking about, and that made me laugh so hard. How did you get into the blog, then? Maybe that's
right, so I actually, I had a music blog where I actually reviewed live shows back in, like, 2004, something like that. I don't know, really early 2000s.
Yeah.
I had a music blog. Where I just reviewed shows. It was called Paying My Own Way, because that's what I was doing. No one was paying me to do anything. And I started doing that, and that got me into some music review jobs, like Little Radio and some other stuff, some zines I did.
Were you at Little Radio?
I wrote for Little Radio. Because I mean, I never hung out.
I DJed at Little Radio.
Oh, yeah?
Like, its entire incarnation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when it was a pirate station still, it was broadcasting out of my living room.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
There's a lot of crossover.
We'll have to talk about this more later.
That'll be part two. And I did that, and then I kind of... like, let that lapse. And then I was reading, it's so funny. So, Jeffrey Morgenthaler, everyone knows now. And his blog, I started reading in 2009, 2010, something like that. And there's something about the way that he was just irreverent and write in his style. And it really struck a chord in me, and it made me want to write again. And I have always been into entertaining. Like, we were like the couple that threw all the theme parties. Yeah.
Our besties that only just met, really.
our tiki parties were themed tiki parties, and we just, it was just all out. We loved entertaining. We loved doing that. And there was all these cocktail recipes, and I wanted someplace to keep all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading his blog, and I started discovering some other blogs, mm-hmm. and... it's like, I really want to do this. I really like this way of writing and talking to an audience, mm-hmm. and just keeping track of this stuff. Because it's really hard for me to remember anything. So, like, I need a visual display.
Same.
Of what I've been up to. So, in early 2011, I started the blog. I started writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a part-time, it was very part-time. It was very sporadic. I would go like maybe 6 months without posting because I had a day job.
You had real life, yeah.
Yeah, I had a day job and I was, you know,
and not
moving
the kind
up
of day job where you could write your blog while you were at your day job. Because I used to do that in the mid-2000s.
I won't say anything about that in case they were listening.
No, you were a very good employee, I can tell.
I was awesome. That's why I still occasionally do stuff for that other
Yay.
Company. So I was just writing, and I was involving myself in the community. And then at that point, there wasn't Instagram. You know, there was Facebook and Twitter, but it was very it didn't have the community, the sense of community, really. It was more just like, this is my friend, and we're posting pictures or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so there was this online cocktail party called Mixology Monday that people would come up with a theme, and then anyone who was doing cocktail blogging at the time would start interacting with and doing, everyone do drinks on that theme. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what year it was, but my website was nominated for a best cocktail blog. And through Serious Eats.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which was like, I can't even describe like the kind of acknowledgement that was, even though, like, you know, it was like 8 top cocktail blogs. And you see those kind of things all the time, like, yeah. You know, yeah. Top whatever. And but then I feel like they had such a great meaning, and then it had such a great impact. Like, from there, I just started getting emails. I suddenly got a lot of notice from brands, and people were sending me stuff, and I'm like, this shit is cool. Like, I am validated.
Oh, look at
this.
This
is awesome. And then from there, like, I just, you know, I just started being more consistent to a degree, and I made the decision in late 2013 that I was going to leave my job to do this full time.
Wow.
And I can do this. So I started lining up stuff for the next year. Mm-hmm. I had been talking with you know the Coconut Club.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I actually helped start with Nathan Hazard, who does cocktails here in LA, start doing the drinks for that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we got a lot of cool things lined up for next year. Mm-hmm. And then I quit my job, and 2 weeks later I found out I was pregnant. It doesn't matter what they say. I know I'm gonna love you any old way. What can I do without you? Don't want nobody. Baby, it's you. It had been a long time coming, but like it still took us by surprise. I'm like, I just need to quit my other job. But it really threw a wrench in stuff, and I actually had to backscale everything. Like, yeah, I just had to, but it was a whole, that's like a whole nother can of worms, mm-hmm. because it was a really challenge. It was like one of the most challenging times I'd say in my career right now.
Yeah.
Because there was a weird, like, I really want to do this cocktail stuff and continue the website, and I'm having a family.
Yeah.
And I feel like it wasn't so much of a, you didn't really talk about that. And it became a very difficult time.
It's true. That's, yeah. You know, I think I've noticed more, and you may have too, since you're interacting with brands and bartenders and all this, in the last couple of years, a much more visible aware, like self-awareness kind of thing, or self-wellness is actually where I want to go.
Right, yeah.
You know, people, there's been more discussion about, you know, women being pregnant and working behind the bar. Mm-hmm. People get flipped out about it. It's like, well, you don't have to drink when you work behind a bar. And,
right.
And, you know, mental health issues, sexual harassment issues, all these kind of things. And I feel that, you're right, it wasn't something that was talked about.
Oh, no.
But in the last couple of years, I feel like it's being addressed, and the community is standing up and trying to make these things workable.
Right. No, like, I agree. It really is. There's a much more.
So did you wind up being a part of that in a sense?
No, I still kept. I'm a really private person, and so like I didn't tell colleagues, I didn't tell anyone that I was pregnant until I kind of really have to.
Yeah.
And most people did not find out until after I'd given birth to my first child.
Oh wow!
Like I pretty much just announced like. I didn't set a cocktails this week. I made a baby, and like, that was my post on Facebook. When my first child was born, and it was just weird. Like I had a lot of weird, kind of uncomfortable situations that happened once I was visibly pregnant, doing work with brands and other brands. I had a colleague in a meeting tell people we were working with, like, I was going to be a stay-at-home mom now because I had a child, and like it just kind of like
why?
Yeah, exactly.
Why?
It was just a lot of. That made me really uncomfortable to come out with that kind of stuff.
That was really weird.
It was really weird. And it really was like, it made me like,
wary,
like,
I'm sure.
I mean, yeah, and I went right back into work. Like, I was right back into doing stuff with brands like 3 weeks after I gave birth because I felt like I needed to.
You didn't want to lose.
I didn't want to lose what I had, and I didn't want to like kind of be like, give in to the voices. Now I think that was just all the most stupid as shit, and I feel really dumb about
you know
it.
What?
But like,
no. I don't think you have to. I don't think you have to feel stupid about it because had you just blazed forward doing everything, you probably would have gotten even more weird looks and even more strange comments, but you would have blazed through it and shown them how it's done.
Right.
That's the only thing. Yeah. And you know what? This is your first baby, for Christ's sake. Yeah. That's big enough. that's kind of a thing to deal with, you know? So choose your battles. Is that the thing? Pick your battles?
Yeah, pick your battles. Yeah.
And you now got that baby thing first.
Now it's funny. Like, I look back on all of that now, and I mean, it's really different now. There's a lot of, like, you know, cocktails have moved from blogs to Instagram. So pretty much it's a lot of stuff on Instagram, which I fight tooth and nail.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I'm just like, I don't give a shit about Instagram. I'm just posting my blog all the time.
They're so
beautiful. But it's on the blog. And I keep hearing people saying, like, well, it's going back to blogs.
I can tell you that my Instagram experience is I'll see one of your pictures and then I'll jump over to the blog to read
it. That's what I want people to do, is to be more, spend the time. But it's hard to get people to do things like click a fucking link and go to a website.
I've had so many job things where we've talked about the clickability.
Yeah.
And, oh, God, well, that's 4 clicks away. We only want them to deal with 2 clicks because they're going to start getting impatient. It's wild to think of a learning process being that way.
Right.
And we're applying this to booze.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it's cocktails. Enjoy yourself.
Have fun. Yes. Yeah, cocktails. So, speaking of cocktails, so talk to me about your cocktails.
Okay.
Because you get there on the vlog and I'm like, okay, sometimes there are cocktails that I'm aware of and have seen, and sometimes there are cocktails I'm like, did you just come up with this? And a lot of times you are coming up with them.
Yeah,
you're a chef. You're a
and that's exactly
chef.
The way that I think of it. Mm-hmm. I think of cocktails in a very culinary term. Mm-hmm. I will sometimes base cocktails on just smells. Like, I will smell different liquors and think about the way the flavors are going to interact, and I will base stuff on there. You know, there's a lot of riffs on classic stuff because it's easy. It's easy. Like, you can come up with some really great stuff that is delicious and it's still, it's familiar. Mm-hmm. But then I also go way out into left field and, because I think that's something that I've always done and people expect with a website and they want to see that. I really like thinking of cocktails more than just, like, I don't know.
Just booze in a mixer.
A booze in a vessel. Yeah. I like seeing what I can come up with that.
Yeah.
And so I've always kind of had that. A lot of the stuff that I was doing when I first started was seasonal, and there was a lot of DIY stuff, and I still like doing, like, the DIY, the syrups, the how to do your own tonic syrup, how to do orgeat, all that kind of stuff. That's actually a new series I started this year. It's like make or buy. And it's just a lot of these things that people think are really difficult or hard to do are actually not. Mm-hmm. Like, you can make allspice liqueur at home. It's not difficult. Mm-hmm. Like, you can make falernum at home. It's not difficult.
I know a lot of people make falernum, but I didn't know you can make your own allspice, and I'll be hitting you up for that.
All right, it's delicious. It's very delicious.
I love allspice.
It is very good. It's Christmas in a bottle.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. And that stuff is actually really fun for me, and the more that I've been doing this, the more that I kind of like having this kind of resource for visitors. Mm-hmm. So I like doing cocktails, but I also really just like having this resource of things you can do to build your own.
Yeah,
I don't always want to be the voice of someone who's telling you what to make. I just want to give you the tools to make something that's interesting for you.
Yeah.
Because honestly, a lot of social media I find now with the cocktail bloggers and these people who are on there, it's very boring. Mm-hmm. It's very much an echo chamber.
It's dry. I think it's very,
very dry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you're seeing the same companies who are sponsoring, who are giving everyone free bottles, and you're seeing on everyone else's page. And I've pretty much stopped taking a lot of stuff. Like, but one, I don't have a room. I'm actually clearing out my own bar right now, and I have
You're ever having a use up your stuff party? Let me know. I have to do that periodically as well. Yeah. I understand.
This is more like a just dump the shit party, because it's just bags. It's overwhelming. Just, But I really want people more to come up with their own stuff, because these people who are doing some of the stuff on Instagram, it's visually pretty, but if you look into the recipe, it's not that interesting, or it's not possibly not going to be that good.
Yeah.
It's more about a visual display, and that's what I find really irritating about social media stuff right now is it's all show.
It doesn't have the substance.
There's no substance.
Is this why you've been nominated so many times? For it's Savour, yes?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm always afraid I say it wrong because it's got all those vowels in it.
Right.
So it's Savour. And they, how many times have they nominated you?
I've never nominated four. Four in the last 5 years.
Okay, yeah. So for that. But you've been nominated for other things as well.
There have been.
That bounce around. You're like, I don't know why. They just love me.
You know what the thing is? I don't remember what else I've been nominated for. I write it down on my website so I don't have to think about it.
That's how you keep track of it.
Anyone can go to the website, sternstrain.com, and see.
And see.
Like, what I've been, because I don't remember. So, I didn't win, so that's why it's not been.
But you got nominated. So, and there are a lot of blogs out there.
It is.
And there are a lot of cocktail blogs, like you're saying. Cocktail blogs, cocktail Instagrams. And are you doing video now, too?
No, God. No? I like, occasionally I have clients who will ask for that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. and I have, like, agreed to it on a couple of rare occasions, mm-hmm. but I just, it's enough to photograph and edit. I don't want to have to learn a new skill, because honestly, when someone really requires me to do any kind of video editing, my husband's, like, a technical genius, and so I'm just like, I'll shoot a video, you edit it, you color correct, you put the words and stuff on. Like, I don't want to do it. It's another step. So, if you like curmudgeonly, like, I'm an old person now in this world, and I am. I feel like I'm so much older than the people who are coming up onto the scene now.
But you're like, it just feels that way.
It just feels that way.
It's again, it's the flashiness of that things can bring, which sometimes is great and sometimes it's not so great.
Yeah.
But obviously, since you do have substance, people keep noticing this. And to go back to the substance issue, you know, you have come up just in the, I guess, I don't know, I'm trying to think how long I've been following you. Maybe like 2 years, I think. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some beautiful recipes pop up here and there. And I have a little notebook, like a little memo pad notebook, and I'll find things online and then I'll write it all down in there and stash it. Mm-hmm. So when sometimes I'll be like, oh, is there anything in here I can use? You know, do I have all these ingredients today? Oh, I just need to get one thing? Okay, I'll try this, mm-hmm. you know. So do you have any that rise up that you were maybe especially proud of, or maybe one that got you more notice or something like that? You probably have a couple because you've been doing this for a long time.
There's a couple that I like. There's this one cognac cocktail that's just like, it's like cognac and maple and lemon, called like the private club cocktail, I think it's called, that I really liked. And there's another one called Electric Fields, or Pink Electric Fields, something like that. And it's like this really gorgeous pink drink before like pink was like a thing.
Yeah,
like, this was
yeah.
like, you know, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know what? I just did. So I've had a partnership with Kerrygold Irish Cream for the past year.
Yes, and I love that butter very much.
Oh, we do too. We use it in the house all the time.
And my boyfriend's Irish, so I'm like, yay! Yeah. I can have more Irish in my house.
There you go.
Yeah.
I've been partnering with them to develop recipes, and it's been a fun challenge because, I mean, Irish Cream, people think, I'm not trying to do this as like a sponsor thing. No one's telling me to do this.
You did just post something recently that I did
a tiki cocktail with it.
Maybe that's what I saw.
And it really surprised me. Mm-hmm. And I was actually proud of myself for coming up with this. I'm like, it's so tasty and it's weird and there's like Fernet in there and some other stuff. I forget already.
Yeah. It's on the blog.
It's on the blog. Go and check it out. It's not that far down the page.
What was that one called?
It's called Port Dues.
Port
Dues. Like,
oh,
because there's port in it as well.
Oh, there we go. Okay, port. I was like port of call or something like that.
Well,
okay.
I was kind of doing like a tiki seafaring riff name and then with the port as well.
Oh, awesome.
But that, I think that might be been like one that I felt like, this is really cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think people are hesitant because I felt like there was a weird hesitation of it being like a tiki drink, but with like Irish cream in it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I feel like I need to convince people, like, just drink it. Like, just try it and drink it. It's delicious. Please.
Well, I think the tiki scene is because, you know, you're a fan of tiki, a longtime fan of tiki. And it's been, you know, in the last 20 years, the like younger tiki folks out there, you know, there's Brian Miller who did the Winchester,
yep.
right? And that revolutionized the current wave of tiki drinks because right. he used gin.
Yeah.
And people, you know, you forget like Singapore Sling has gin in it and yeah. things like that. But it's just been such a rum dominated thing. Mm-hmm. It's fun to see people coming up with other, using it. This is a mezcal tiki drink. It's like, mm-hmm. yes,
yes,
okay.
Yeah, you know, I can always get behind that.
Yeah, totally. I'm like, I like all the booze. Right. I also like pineapple juice.
Right.
Let's make it all work together.
Yeah, exactly.
There's coconut. Yay, I could do it, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. So yeah. since this is a music and booze podcast, mm-hmm. have you had music and booze inspiration? Do you know? Can you think back on if you had any, like, songs that wound up in your drinks or anything?
You know what? Actually, the funny thing is with this Kerrygold campaign that mm-hmm. I just did with them, they had me create a couple playlists.
Oh, really?
So on Spotify, fine. They're not up yet. They'll come up eventually.
We'll have a playlist that goes with this.
I'm going to do a tiki playlist for the last protocol. I actually owe them that.
Yeah.
Actually, like, super overdue to give them that. It's a good reminder of me. I'll do that today.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But, like, that was really fun. Of, like, coming up a drink and doing some Spotify playlists for them.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, it's the two have always gone hand in hand for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's always like entertaining and doing the playlist for the parties we had at our house.
Yeah,
always
yeah.
super important. Like yeah. even like my husband is very particular about that stuff too. I actually just found an old notebook where he had like written down a whole like it was like an entire page covered with scribbled song ideas for this tiki party that we're having. This was like back in 2009.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, I just, they just go hand in hand. Like, I'm always, mm-hmm. if I'm drinking, I'm listening to someone.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Well, what are you listening to when you're drinking what? You know, if you're sitting home having some wine, what are you listening to? If you're sitting home having your tiki cocktail, what are you
It really varies.
It should vary, I think,
yeah.
anyway.
I mean.
But I think some people have a comfort zone. They want to sit in their living room with a little bit of whiskey and listen to Bruce Springsteen or something.
I love, like, there's, like, a lot of Northern Soul stuff that we'll listen to during, that we'll just kind of chill out to, mm-hmm. and we have, like, a bunch of records for that. There's this record label called the Numero Group that does mm-hmm. the most amazing compilations.
Yeah.
Like, you can put on any of those and just relax and have something.
Yeah,
and
totally.
I'm a huge, like, Exotica fan, mm-hmm. so I have my favorites through there.
Yeah. And you can drink anything while you're listening to that stuff?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Northern Soul track? Because I have this mod history. Or, I mean, what are some of the ones? I mean, I was never a mod. I just always wanted to date a mod.
Right.
Because they always look so good. They were so put together.
I just wanted a Vespa.
I know, right? I realized later that I just like guys that put themselves together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that could even mean just bathing on a regular basis right. this time of life. Because then, of course, I worked in music, so I dated musicians all the time. And I'm all, okay, you all can't be Paul Weller.
Right.
So how do we make this work? So yeah, when you said Northern Soul, I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
And you started the interviews talking about the chiffons. Oh, wait, no.
Crystals.
Okay, you did. Crystals. Yeah. So and that kind of falls into
it does.
That whole
There's topic. A lot. I do actually have, like, when I do my DJ, and I have, mm-hmm. like a subsection where I'll do some singers from that, mm-hmm. and I'm forgetting everything.
It's all right
now. I was never a good test taker.
I'm not either. I'm terrible at quizzes. I mean, you could ask me about. I said this many times on the podcast. My favorite band in the whole world always will be Duran Duran, no matter what, because the little girl still lives inside. Mm-hmm. You know, and you could say to me, I'll give you $10,000 if you name me all five members of Duran Duran, and I'll go, what?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I could have them tattooed on my ass, and I will not be able to do that. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if any of those Northern Soul songs rise to the top.
Like, I can
anything.
Like think of like I can hear the lyrics in my head, but I could not tell you like. A
I would make you
one
sing
right
for
now.
Me, but David Bowie is kind of
That's
loud.
That's fine.
Right
David
now,
Bowie so trumps me singing.
He's distracting.
At,
I know, right?
At any time.
He's distracting us right now. Well, on that note, that's probably a good way to wrap it all up and
great.
Everything. So just tell everybody where they should find you on all the social media.
Okay. Well, you can
so
always
much.
Find me on the blog at stirandstrain.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at Instagram at stirandstrain, Facebook at
stirstrain.
It's actually stirstrain because someone
strain.
Took that. And, I mean, I'm not really on Twitter, so...
How many, do you put up a recipe or do you put something up 5 days a week?
No, God.
I was going to say, that would be a lot.
No. I mean, I do, every Monday I have something called the Monday Booze News.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I took that away for a while and I actually had people surprisingly tell me,
I actually
bring
love
it back.
That. I love that. So it's a nice little roundup for me too when I'm really busy.
It's fun.
So thank you.
It's fun. You're welcome.
But you also were doing, didn't you do Tiki Mug Mondays too?
On Instagram I was doing Tiki Mug Mondays and I had to stop because I was going through my collection and then I was looking at everyone else's, and I was getting super jealous and wanted all of them. And I'm like, I can't business expense all of this.
I have a few if you want to come over and borrow.
So. Take a picture,
because I don't really use them. My boyfriend has hundreds of them.
Oh, really?
You might want to borrow his.
All right, so I'm going to just start doing
friends tiki mug
friends
Mondays.
Friends. Yeah, actually, I could probably.
Okay.
I could probably do that.
Stir and strain.
Stir and strain.
Everywhere is where people find you. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And
all right.
I think that's it. Everybody go to the blog site and download or, you know, write down one of those recipes. This is everybody's homework. Go find one recipe and make it for yourself in the next, like, week or two. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
And then tell me what you like
and
what you don't.
Tell and, like, send her a note, like, on that social media or something. I'll tag you on Instagram because you love it so much.
Alright everybody, you know what to do. Go to the Stir and Strain blog and look up some recipes. See if you can find something that you want to make. Make it, take a picture of it, and tag it on Instagram. And then go check out the Facebook stuff as well. There are always some really cool recipes and beautiful images all over, and very well-written stuff all over that blog. So I highly recommend it. You'll learn a lot. And it's been in existence for quite some time, so you guys have a lot to choose from. Thanks, Elena, for being here with us. It was a lot of fun, in case y'all couldn't tell. And remember to go check all that stuff out and to check out her extremely groovy playlist that we've got over on Spotify. More info coming up in just a sec. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thanks for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guests and our Spotify playlist, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.